eternal. He says, "Where their worm die, not, where their worm dieth not," to use the King James. That is, the torment continues forever and forever. What is the torment? The torment is essentially separation from God. The torment of hell is essentially separation from God. It is an absence of His presence, and the absence of His presence is painful. Because there is an awareness at the same time of the, as well as the fact that you're in a dead place, that where God is not. You're also aware of the consequences of your own choices, and that you cannot have a second chance to undo the consequences of your own choices. That is the experience of Hades. That's the experience of hell. Jesus said, "I have the keys to Hades and to death." He also said unto his disciples on another occasion, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom." Keys to Hades and hell, the keys to the kingdom. What are these keys? Keys have to do with, if you will, the way in, of the way to get access to, or what will give access to. If you reject Jesus, if you reject the plea of the Holy Spirit to repent of your sin, to come to Christ, to ask His forgiveness, to ask Him to be your Savior, to come into your life, to be the Lord of your life, if you neglect to do that, you force Him to use the key that opens the door to hell. "I have the keys to Hades and to death." Death is referred to not just as physical death, but death is referred to as spiritual death in the Bible. We're all spiritually dead before we become Christians. That means we don't have any part of us that responds to God. That's what spiritual death is. It is a deadness inside in the spirit. That's spiritual death. I can't see God. I don't believe in God. I don't love God. I don't have a response to God. There is a deadness between me and God. That's spiritual death. Horrible condition. That's where I was before I became a Christian at age 16. I was spiritually dead. But then God comes and He injects life. And He grants faith to believe. And we become alive and born again. And we become a child of God. And those things that we were indifferent to become the most important things in our lives. As God Himself invades our lives and we love Him before we were indifferent to Him. The keys to Hades and death. Will we die forever? That's what Hades, hell, represents. Will we die forever? The prophet said, "Why will you die? Why do you insist on dying? Human beings, in your arrogance and in your pride and your ego, why do you insist on dying? Don't force me to use the key that will open that door to Hades and to death for you." One occasion, Jesus said to His disciples, this is an awesome statement for Jesus to make to His disciples. He said to His disciples, "Listen, there are people that are going to persecute you. There are people that are going to take you and kill you." He says, "Don't fear those who can only kill your body." But He said, "Fear Him who has the power over both the body and the spirit. Fear Him that rather," He said, "who has the power to condemn both body and soul into hell." The only one who has the ultimate power over our lives is God. He's our Creator. He's also the one who has the power both to condemn as well as to forgive if we do it in time in this life. But if we don't do it in time in this life, then the keys turn, the gate of Hades opens, and we enter. And that occurs after the final judgment. And before the final judgment, the spirits of those who are outside of Christ go to a place of torment. Then they are raised again in the final resurrection. They have a new body, as earlier believers have received new bodies. They stand before Christ at the white, great white throne of judgment. They hear all of their life's deeds opened up from the books. And they recognize that they deserve the punishment that they are about to receive. And the keys turn. Hades' door opens. And they enter. It's called the lake of fire. It's called hell. Yes. I will try. Unless He comes back first, right? Place of torment. Not a child of God, yes, yes.
And then, at the white throne of judgment, He unlocked death. He unlocked Hades. So the souls come out of Hades, they're rejoined with their physical body, they stand before the white throne, and then people throw death and Hades into the lake of fire.
Correct. Correct.
So I just want to say, because I heard you say, people judge us at the white throne.
Right.
And if you unlock Hades and put us back in, doesn't He throw death into
I want you to know that there is at least two meanings of the word Hades. One is that it is equal to hell and is often used as equal to hell. And the example that is given here of the rich man being in a place of torment, it is usually viewed as being in hell. But, and I have to say but because it is also a view that is widely held by many believers over many, many centuries, it is viewed that there is a place of waiting that is not yet the lake of fire. A place of torment that is not yet the final place of punishment. And Hades is viewed, one writer put it this way, he said, you think of the difference between the local jail and the penitentiary. When you first die, if you're an unbeliever, you go to this waiting place, and it's not a very comfortable place, it's like the local jail. But you haven't experienced anything yet until you get thrown into the pen. And so Hades, the temporary place of waiting until the end of the age, is no longer needed. In that sense, Hades, that waiting place for those who are outside of Christ, is disposed of, along with death itself, meaning physical death, because, again, there will be no more people alive in that sense in the eternal kingdom to die, because their bodies will all be raised. So death will be gone. Hades, that temporary place of waiting for those who are outside of Christ, will be gone. Right, they'll be disposed of. There'll be no more need. That is the eternal punishment place, which is called hell. There's a different word besides Hades. It's called Gehenna. And Gehenna is the other word that we also find used in the New Testament for hell. The permanent place, the lake of fire, is Gehenna. Hades is viewed sometimes as equivalent and used interchangeably with hell, sometimes as a temporary waiting place, it's described as, for those who are outside of Christ. Now, I'm not going at this juncture because there's a good debate as to whether it is strictly the one or whether it is really the other. I'm simply going to give you the information. Either way, you don't want to be there.
No.
Well, that's the other side of the view that we just described, that there is a place of waiting before the resurrection of Jesus and before people were able, therefore, to go directly to be with the Lord as believers, a place of waiting called paradise. And so you have Hades being a place of waiting for those who are outside of Christ, and you have paradise up to the point of the time of his death and until the time of his resurrection being the place of waiting, Abraham's bosom, for those who are believers, Old Testament believers, and so on. But that is one view. The other view is that people in the Old Testament, as well as people in the New Testament, went straight to heaven to be present with the Lord in their spirit, and that they were present to see the Lord in their spirit prior to the resurrection. So, again, either way, a place that is of comfort, Abraham's bosom, or a place that's in the actual presence of the Lord permanently, namely heaven, either way, the spirits in heaven and the spirits in Hades have to get bodies, have to be resurrected, have to appear before separate judgment seats for different purposes, and live forever in that new state of the resurrected bodies and their spirits, whichever side of the line they are on. So, it is possible to argue both sides of that it is a waiting place for the before the resurrection now. Because after the resurrection, what do we hear Paul say? To be absent from the flesh is to be present with the Lord. To be absent from the flesh is to be present with the Lord. And so that tells me, as I read the New Testament, that for the believer, the child of God, you immediately go to heaven to be with the Lord. In fact, if you read the book of Revelation, as we're going to read a little bit later on in the book of Revelation, you're going to be seeing the spirits of those who were martyred during the tribulation in heaven, and they are there crying out for God to finish the job, as it were, how long, O Lord, before you finish the job? But they're visible. They have a visible form in heaven, and they're before the throne. So the spirits of believers go to heaven now, immediately. And they're forever with the Lord to be brought back with him at the end when he overcomes evil and sets up the kingdom to come back and get their resurrection bodies forever and ever to be in those resurrection bodies. So paradise could be either the waiting place for those who are believers, Old Testament, up to the time of the resurrection, including the thief on the cross, or it could be heaven itself. Now, it says that Jesus, some of the great creeds say Jesus descended into hell during the time in between the cross and the death and the resurrection. And that is viewed by most as being a time when he preached to those spirits who were, quote, in prison or who were waiting. Now, he's not preaching to those who are lost, though it's possible. He's preaching to those who have believed on the basis of the light they have. And then it says that he carried captivity captive. He returned to heaven with a great train of folk after the resurrection, because these are those waiting for that moment, for his resurrection. So there's a great deal here. There's much more than I have time to share. I've kept you late. I hope I don't keep you too late for church. But you asked the question, and I apologize for taking this extra time, but I hope it at least is helpful. Gene, we'll close. Right. No, the white throne judgment is just for unbelievers. There's a judgment seat of Christ, which is the place where we are have our lives evaluated by Jesus. That is not for condemnation, it is for evaluation of the quality of our obedience and service. That's not the white throne. White throne is just for the unbelievers. When we some would hold immediately when the church is raptured and we stand before Jesus Christ. Yeah, and we'll talk about that when we get to the rapture. Thank you. Appreciate you. God bless you. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how great you are, and how grateful we are to have stood in your presence today. We wish to abase ourselves in our minds and in our spirits before you, because you are the mighty, eternal, loving Heavenly Father that you are. Your greatness and glory just is stupendous and dazzles our eyes and our mind's eyes. And we just pray that as we live our lives, we will have your vision of your glory before our eyes, as John did, and that that will be one of those governing and one of those motivating visions that we'll carry with us throughout our lives. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you.
I want us to close this service once again, Todd, with a reprise of what Dan and the choir, all of us sang earlier, Hallelujah, I'm Saved. Because we need to go out singing. We need to go out shouting because of what Christ has done for us. Amen? Amen.